This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulabinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, Korotongo villages are protecting their future with the help of mangroves.
And a food that could help you after a disaster, and it might already be in your garden.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
We've been talking a lot about the depletion of marine resources in certain coastal areas in Fiji, and how some of the villagers now have to go further out to sea just to get a decent catch.
Absolutely, Fred. I clearly recall visiting this particular village during my recent field coverage in the northern part of Fiji, the province of Maduata, where women were complaining about how they now have to travel further offshore to harvest sea grapes and get a good catch. Not only women, but fishermen as well.
Yeah. And there's one village in particular, Joe, that's about a two-hour drive from Fiji's capital, Suva, from memory. What's the name of that village again?
It's called Korotongo.
Korotongo.
Korotongo Village. Yeah, Korotongo Village, that's located along the main, one of Fiji's main highway, which is a Queen's Highway. So if you're traveling from Nandi Airport to Suva on the road, you will eventually come past this particular village. And it's right by the sea as well. And what's unique about this this village, Fred, which is Korotongo, is that its shoreline is covered with thick mangroves.
So when you say thick mangroves, how thick are you talking about? Like, is it sort of like, how far would it be? Like 10 meters, 20 meters deep or longer?
I would say 10 to 15 meters.
Right,
10
yeah.
to 15 meters because, I'll let the person who I interviewed detail how did it started because it's been there for decades.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but it's
so
thick,
man, yeah,
it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's thick. Yeah, and it's dense. And thanks to the efforts in protecting existing mangroves and planting more, which has helped marine species not only protected the village from coastal erosion and the impacts of high tides or tsunami, but it also helps the villages to feed them, essentially to feed them, and for the women, likewise for fishermen, to have a good catch and to continue to have a productive quality marine species. Well, to find out more, let's listen to an interview with Mr. Apimeleki Ratumbuli, one of the elders from Korotongo Village. Mangrove planting has been a vital initiative in Korotongo Village, aimed at protecting the community from natural disasters and preserving the coastal environment. The purpose of this effort is twofold. First, to act as a natural barrier that reduces the impact of storm surges and coastal flooding during extreme weather events. And second, to help maintain the health and beauty of the beachfront by stabilizing the sand and preventing coastal erosion. This initiative began back in 1989
when villages and local groups started planting mangroves along the shoreline. Over the years, these efforts have proven crucial, especially during the massive tsunami that struck in 1996, just 7 years after the first mangroves were planted. The thick mangroves forests help to absorb the force of the waves, protecting homes and lives from more severe damage. In addition to environmental protection, the village has a clear and proper evacuation plan, simply to ensure the safety of the villages during disasters. When warnings are issued, villages are informed or instructed to evacuate to the Sinatoka Andhra College, which serves as a designated safe zone and evacuation center. This location is chosen for its safety and accessibility. Once conditions improve, people return home to resume their daily lives. Some villages, particularly those who may be delayed in leaving for school or other commitments, move to a higher ground near the village is an alternative. This elevated spot is also recognized as a safe place or a safe spot to seek refuge or seek shelter when tsunami alerts are raised. Reflecting on past experiences, the community recalls a massive tropical cyclone that caused significant havoc years ago. During that event, villagers sought shelter at the school for a week, staying safe from strong waves that battered their homes and surroundings. This time spent at the evacuation center allowed them, and allowed my family as well, to recover physically and emotionally before returning to rebuild and rehabilitate our village. It is in moments like this that the value of mangroves becomes clear. The thick, intertwined roots of the mangrove trees have played an essential role in shielding the village from the worst of the storms and tsunamis over the years. Today, the community continues to prioritize the protection and expansion of mangrove forests. Planting programs are ongoing in different parts of the village, supported by both local initiatives and external organizations. Groups such as OISCA from Korea and the Ministry of Fisheries here in Fiji and other relevant arms of government provide valuable assistance and raise awareness about the importance of maintaining healthy mangrove ecosystems. These efforts have resulted in a thriving marine environment with abundant fish, crabs, sea grapes, and sea mussels, or kaikoso, as we say it here, now regularly caught close to the shore. This increase in marine productivity not only supports the villagers' livelihoods, but also helps sustain the local culture and way of life.
Na kango kitu sabandina dinataka. na kena sini sisi rau na nuku ni sa tango makatu na bintongo. Na bintongo waka rabitau ringa tu so na...
Finally, the villages offer a heartfelt message to everyone, especially those in communities, settlements, and villages that are living or located near coastal areas. It is important, it is crucial to protect mangroves for the future of our communities. Cutting down mangroves for firewood or development threatens both the environment and our safety. Instead, planting more mangroves will help preserve marine ecosystems, reduce the damage caused by storms, and most importantly, ensure that future generations can continue to live and thrive by the sea.
Moni tea talanga nena kango warambi le butaka. Me baka naka kitu dhaka wachungo. Yanga balibu viki mami. Rao chiku kina kukasha kawo chia. Rao chiku kina na burubure ni kaka na ika, na ngari. Nanga sabandi indi neta kichiko na kia na tanga bichiko. Na vanua ya maibira na erinandongoli nga ina koro.
A big Binakabakalebu, thank you so much to Mr. Apimeleke Ratumbuli, one of the elders from in Korotonga village along Fiji's coral coast, for availing his time during my visit to that particular area earlier this week.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
After a disaster of some kind, if you went looking for something to eat in the garden, you might find that a lot of the plants have been damaged or completely destroyed. I can relate to this incident or scenario, Fred.
First-hand experience from Joe. But there is a plant in Vanuatu that can hold up in these rough weather conditions because the most important part of the plant is actually not above the ground.
Joanna Bulle from Vanuatu Broadcasting and Television Corporation wanted to find out more about this very useful plant known as Nia. Let's take a listen.
So for generations, families have relied on special ways of preserving food to ensure they have enough to eat during and after a cyclone. I will be taking you down to Tafea province on the island of Eromango, and we will hear about the process of preparing a bush vine called nie and why these traditional practices are important for the local communities. I have with me Jacqueline Dimas. Welcome to the program. Could you walk us through the process of preparing nie?
Thank you. It's a vine that grows tubers just like any other root crops. I must say it is a delicacy that we all enjoy anytime, especially during the season where we harvest nie. During disaster times, it is very, these are life-sustaining vine where people rely on by waiting for help from other places. For example, during Cyclone Palm, a great big flood that flooded all the gardens and destroyed most of the food that people planted in their gardens. My family's relied on nie. Nie is actually a rope or vine that is cultivated in the gardens, by mothers usually. The men do not look at it as something that they will really tend to, but it's the mothers who pick up this vine and they plant it in the garden along with the yams. It is like yam, so when it is ready to harvest, the leaves turn yellow, they fall off from the vines, and then we know that it is ready to be harvested. There are two different types of nye. There is a white one, and there is a yellow one. A yellow one is the best, according to my experience, because I've tasted this nye, and the yellow one is the best. Anyway, the white nye has two types. There is the yellow nye is called orat in Eromangan. The white one, there are two types. One is called seltagari. That is when you tick up the tubers, it has its bottleneck tubers. It has a little tiny neck, and then the tubers are quite big when you tick up the nye. And there is the umpet. Umpet has two types. There is the small ones and the big ones. And the big ones, I've never really seen the big ones, but as told by my family, my mother, my relatives, they say that the umpet, the big variety, can grow so big that you need an axe to harvest it out from, cut it off from the stem so you can harvest it and take it home. Anye is planted during yam planting, or especially during the gardening season. So at this time of the year, like now, nye is harvested to be eaten. When I was little, I remember us going to the garden, and every time we go to the garden to prepare gardens, we always, my mom used to say, let's just go, just bring coconut. There's lots of nye where we can dig up, roast it over the fire, and just enjoy it. The roots is fleshy. You chew out the fleshy part, you swallow it down, swallow, and you throw away the vines that is made up of this tuber. When you plant, it is good to leave nye for 2 years. For 1 year, it's not really the tubers you will collect. It's not that big and it's not that delicious. But once you leave it for 2 years, when you go to dig, it has grown huge. You can see, you can tell from the soil that you planted that, yes, there is some food in there that we will dig up. With a nye, if you want your nye to give you just the food from the stem that you planted, then you get the vines, you play just like yam. You get sticks, you get the vines, go around the stick so it goes up into a tree and it does not crawl over all over the garden. That will give you only one harvest from the stem you planted. If you want to have a lot of harvest, a lot of nye, you let it crawl. You let it crawl just like kumala tubers. Mm-hmm. Once it crawls, you can have plenty of little roots that will grow, and then you can have a lot of places to harvest your nye. This way, it grows, and it grows wild into the bush. So where there is no garden and where your nye has crawled into, there will be nye there for you to dig when disaster strikes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize how to take care of nye. They just let it go. But once disaster strikes, everybody will want to go looking for nye because they know there is food there. The ways of cooking nye. There are quite a few ways, just like any other root crop. Nye is boiled, where you can peel, and then you boil in pots, cooking pots. It can be roasted, like I said. The young ones, the tiny ones, can be roasted over fire by little kids along the river, where you can have it with coconut or just have it on its own. It's delicious and it's satisfying. It can be boiled in milk with coconut milk. Mm-hmm. That is coconut cream. That is when it becomes a delicacy where everybody loves to sit around and enjoy that nye together as a family, tell stories. When it is not a disaster time, we all like to enjoy it. During disasters, we share this food. When there is an abundance of nye, during good times, ladies sell it at the market to earn money too. And you have this boiled nye and coconut cream and covered it, rolled up in banana leaves and salt. at the market, everybody will want to have one parcel of nye. Nye can be roasted in bamboos, and that is when it's best. The nye is collected, peeled, washed, and then crushed. Oh, I forgot. For nye to be boiled in coconut cream, it's boiled, and then you get two stones, a flat stone, and then you beat it up so it's soft, pulpy, and then you put it back in the pot, you put your coconut cream, and you boil it again. And that is when it's so delicious. Everybody will not walk past nye when it's in coconut cream. In the bamboo, when there was no pot, this is what they used to do. They milk coconut milk into bamboos, and then they crush it and beat up the nye, raw one, fill it in bamboo, and then roast it over fire. Then I've never tried it, but I'm sure it will be very, very delicious, because food in bamboo is delicious, like any other food. It can also be baked with punya, when there is root crops like manioc, taro, that's baked, or simboro, umrib in Eromangan. You can put nye around, and then you bake it with those food. It's also delicious. We call it nesen in Eromangan. When we put it in bamboo, in coconut milk, we call it nesen, because that's where food is cooked in bamboo. With bunya and umrib, once it's cooked, you can do whatever you can. You would like to do. You can just chew it as it is. It's not something that you eat, you chew. Because then you swallow the fleshy part and you throw away the residue. Yes, all the fibers that is made up of nye. When it's baked with the bunya, after that you can do anything. You can beat it up and cook it in coconut cream again, or just have it as it is. I guess that's what we do with nye.
So for anyone listening and they've never seen the bush vine, could you describe what the taste is like? Does it taste like any other similar food that we have, the root crops that we have?
I wouldn't say. I'm not sure. I think it's like tapioca, manioc, except that manioc is it's all flesh. But then this one is all comes in with the fibers. Huh? There's more fiber to it than the flesh. But when you beat it up, and then you have this flesh, it's easier for you to see the flesh. And when you chew, there's more flesh. When it's roasted, and when it's not cooked in coconut cream, it's just fibers that you chew, and then you get out all the fleshy part, you swallow it, and then you throw away most of the fibers that you get from the nye. I wouldn't describe. I don't know how. The taste is not. I guess manioc will be the closest. Tapioca, when it's roasted over fire, will taste similar to nye.
So the cyclone season in Vanuatu starts in November to April the following year. So if I'm correct, this food can't be preserved for a long period of time, but is readily available in our gardens?
Yes, that is correct. It's readily available in our gardens. It's not preserved like any other food. It's just there. Once disaster strikes, we just go in there and find that nye with your family. It's not any nye that you can find. Most of the nye that I found around here, in Port Vila or Epate, that's not what we have at home. You wouldn't be able to eat that during disaster, because the nye that we find around here is whiter and it's brittle. Mm. Once you dig it up, you try to clean, it's brittle. It will break easily. But the nye that we have at home does not break easily. It's how would I describe that? Once you cut it up to cook, it will not break like manioc or any other root crops that you want to cook. So it's something, some sort of special. I haven't found any around Efate yet.
Just before we finish off, in Eromanga, what are some traditional knowledge of reading or predicting when a disaster is approaching, let's say, a cyclone, for example?
For cyclones, what I used to hear my grandmother, especially my grandparents, when we had abundance of fruits, especially fruits like breadfruit, navel, when they was abundant, and mangoes, where the branches would go right down to nearly touching the ground. That's when my grandparents used to say, "Be careful, something might come up. Something might come up with all this abundance that we see with the fruit trees."
Well, thank you very much for having you on the program. Preserving food is just not about survival, but also about protecting the wisdom of our ancestors for the next generation to come. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter and Vanuatu Broadcasting and Television Corporation journalist Joanna Boule for that story from Vanuatu.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
Runaka Pakalevo, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Pacific Prepared. Kickstarting another brand new month. It's September already. And thank you to our listeners who are listening in right now from across the Pacific, our broadcasting partners, and to our reporters who have been on the ground.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. And thanks to you again, Joe, for being part of the program and answering my silly questions, basically. That's why I'm here.
It's not silly.
Yeah. Because, someone has to ask those questions. So anyway, it's been great.
Yeah. You know, Fred, we can talk for more than 2 days or into three days if we have to talk about all this traditional concept and how it connects with nature and the weather and climate as well. Yeah, so
but we only have 28 minutes each week, so, we're pretty
unfortunately,
limited.
Unfortunately. thank you so much for having me on the show this week. I'll talk to you again next week. Same time, same place. Until then, Nisa Mothamanda.
Thanks, Joe. Vinaka.
Vinaka.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania, also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.